The JAX File, the ultimate Jaguars podcast with Nate Lundy.
Welcome into the podcast. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. A lot on tap for the podcast this week as we kick things off. We'll get to our big interview in just a moment. Talk about the big storylines as training camp and the preseason are underway and the start of the regular season is just a couple of weeks away. Plus, we'll do Around the League with the coach, Brian Billick from NFL Network, as we will every week, a chance to visit with the coach. And we'll close things out this week's podcast with Overtime, a six pack of questions. This week's guest, Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. But it all gets started with the big interview next.
The big interview.
It is time for the big interview. It's time for us to visit with the Jags and get the latest on what's coming out of Jacksonville. A lot of expectations for this team to do it. We bring in Wale Alogan from River City Rogue. He's also on Twitter at TheMCWale, W-A-L-E. Thanks for making some time for us, Wale. As we look at this Jaguars team, I just mentioned it. There's a lot of expectations on this team. How are they handling all this preseason chatter about their squad?
I think the team itself is it's tempered expectations because I feel that this team understands that there's a lot of youth and there's a lot of potential there, but obviously they have to prove it on the field. They haven't done much just overall the past few years, but as the talent has gotten better and as the talent has come into place, obviously, they feel that there are big things that they can build on. Obviously, the performance off Allen Robinson and Blake Bortles last year definitely kind of adds into that.
As you look at this team, before we get into the specifics, how much of the success that's happening right now do you think is because they've been very patient? We've seen a lot of teams around the league that'll, you know, they're firing coaches immediately, some frustrations with general managers and those kinds of things. But I feel like the Jaguars, at least as an organization, have been somewhat patient. Is that true? And is that part of what is leading them to where they are right now, getting ready for 2016?
Yeah, I feel that actually has been a pretty accurate statement. When they brought in the general manager, Dave Caldwell, he said that it was going to be a 3 to 4 year process as far as kind of overturning the roster, getting the right pieces in place. And even with the performance of the team over the past few seasons has been, you know, obviously not good enough for fans, the organization has decided to stick with this particular plan, stick with Gus Bradley, the head coach. And obviously as they've obtained more pieces and getting more people into the system and hoping that it all works out, hopefully it'll work out completely for them. But like I said, yeah, like you mentioned, so it's been a very patient build here.
Wale, as you look at Blake Bortles, I'm a believer that this team can be more successful if his stats are actually lower than what they were last year. Do you agree?
I do agree, because last season. The run game was just non-existent. It was not there, and it forced Blake and it forced the offense as a whole into really difficult situations. But with another year of T.J. Yeldon and adding Chris Ivory in free agency, hopefully their running game can be a stronger factor for them, which will allow Blake to throw less and hopefully be able to control games a little bit better than they were able to last year.
You just talked about that running game. Let's get into it with the running game. We know that Chris Ivory been brought in. We are familiar with T.J. Yeldon. Talk to me about the depth chart, if you will, as you take it from the running game and kind of how you expect it all to work out by the time we get to week one.
Well, I think that you're going to see a two-headed monster between Chris Ivory and T.J. Yeldon. They will be splitting carries, and it's going to be one of those situations where I think game plan is going to dictate which running back is going to get more play. And then you can't forget, you have Denard Robinson, who, you know, as a project player, kind of came along in his second year, had a couple of issues last year, just being able to control the ball, holding onto the ball and things like that. But I think you do have a player who understands what is needed from him if he's called upon. And then obviously we have Corey Grant, who's a very special kick returner, very fast, got a lot of speed, and if he does find his way in the mix, adds another element to that offense.
As you look at the offensive line, which obviously has a lot to do with how that running game will wind up doing, what's your assessment? Are there any weaknesses that still exist?
Right now, we're still the left side of the line is still kind of sketchy because Kelvin Betjeman, the free agent tackle that was signed in the offseason, was told, hey, he's going to be able to practice and no problems, and then the organization kind of held him back and limited him. He's going to be playing on Sunday versus the Bengals, and then obviously Luke Jokel, the left tackle, has had kind of his ups and downs as far as his career goes, but they are thinking about using him as the left guard. Having Brandon Linder returning and playing him at center, that should be a good thing as far as solidifying the offensive line, and obviously A.J. Cannon going into his second year, and Jerry Parnell, the right tackle, who's also in his second year with the team, should fortify the right side of the line.
Hey, you talked about the wide receivers, obviously, and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, just you know, known there in Jacksonville, obviously getting into the season, but then you know, kind of exploded nationally and became names, especially if you're somebody that does fantasy football. But beyond the one and two at the receiver position, what have you seen so far in the preseason as it pertains to like the third wide receiver, the fourth? What do you like, or is it really just those two and then a big drop off?
From what you see right now, it's kind of a drop-off, but it's because you have two guys in Rashad Green and Marquise Lee. Now, Marquise Lee obviously is kind of the hidden factor there because he was drafted in the same round as Allen Robinson. He was actually drafted before Allen Robinson was, but unfortunately just injuries has kind of limited his ability to be on the field and help his team, but he is been able to go through training camp pretty healthily, and he's been able to play, actually contribute in games. And as long as the injury bug does not bite him, he will be a very valuable asset because he brings that added element of speed downfield. He's a lot faster than, you know, Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson. And if he can bring that speed element to the game, that just gives him another weapon. And then Rashad Green, he's a very talented punt returner, very talented special teamer, but he also is a pretty decent slot receiver. He's a guy that you can kind of rely on to get that, you know, third down possession catch if you need to get the first. And if he can kind of find his role, find his niche as far as what he's going to be good at, once again, that's just another added weapon for the Jaguars offense.
Now let's go over to the defensive side of things. You know, we started off this podcast talking about the fact that, you know, the patience that's existed, the fact that this team is being talked about now much more maybe than they have been in years past. A lot of it starts with that defense. What's been your assessment so far through the preseason of whether they are playing and showing what everybody's talking about?
I think the defense hasn't been able to really show what they're fully capable of because it's mainly a scheme situation where, you know, they have to draw up game plans and different things like that. But I think when they head into the regular season and, you know, obviously they're game planning and not using just a vanilla defense as far as their coverages and stuff go, you'll definitely be able to see what this defense is capable of. I think this, obviously going after Malik Jackson in free agency definitely does a huge number to an already pretty defensive tackle position, and then obviously getting Dante Fowler back and addressing the needs addressing the edge rush with Yannick Ngakoue and being able to use Dan Scuda in a pass rushing role is going to help that pass rush and that front four really get some well needed push.
And then as we move towards week one, last question for you, as we get closer to the start of the regular season, but still, you know, a week, 10 days or so left within the preseason, what's the one thing that you're still looking for out of this team?
Honestly, we just need to see kind of the consistency continue to build. Both the offense and defense, the first team offenses and defenses have had very productive drives when they are on the field, and obviously going into the third preseason game, they're going to be on the field more closer going into the third quarter. So if they are able to build on top of the consistency that they've already kind of started to build, then it's going to just help things transition smoother when it comes to regular season play.
Wale Oligan from River City Rogue. You find that on Twitter. You also find him on Twitter as personal, at VMCWale, W-A-L-E. Wale, really appreciate the time. Thanks for giving us a little preseason preview. We'll look forward to talking some more during the regular season.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you for calling.
Stick around. We've got the coach, Brian Billick, coming up next.
Around the League.
It is time for us to go around the league, and as we will do each week throughout the season, we're joined from the NFL Network. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick. It is the Coach Brian Billick. And first of all, Coach, how's your offseason been?
It's been great. As usual, too short. But it's time for football, so we'll crank this thing up.
It always feels like it's too short. Let's talk about some of the stories from the offseason and even from training camp and beyond. A few interesting quarterback moves, so let's start here. First of all, what's your assessment of the Broncos quarterback situation and the decision Gary Kubiak's having to make?
Well, anytime you take a quarterback in the first round, obviously L.A. doing it with Jared Goff and then Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and then Paxton Lynch in Denver. At some point, you've got to know these guys are going to start. I mean, since the, Aaron Rodgers did it in 2005, and he's the poster child for those that say, okay, you shouldn't start a quarterback, let him sit in and learn behind somebody else. Well, with all due respect, he sat in behind Brett Favre. That's a Hall of Famer. And Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Paxton Lynch, they're not sitting behind Hall of Fame. In my opinion, they ought to play. And it sounds like Paxton Lynch, particularly with a team like Denver, that's going to pack a great defense. They anticipate running the ball well. Why would you not start him?
And then when you go from Denver, let's stay in the West. Let's go to the NFC West. What about what Chip Kelly is dealing with in San Francisco with Gabbert, with Kaepernick? It feels like it's a very odd situation that he's trying to decide who his quarterback for 2016 is going to be.
Yeah, you know, what the old adage is, if you have two or three quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I mean, it should be very clear-cut. And he may have already decided. I think there's still an upside for Colin Kaepernick. We'll see how he fits into the Chip Kelly system. You'd think it would be fabulous. Blaine Gabbert, I think we've seen, is a backup, a good, solid backup in this league. I don't know that you're going to be a championship-caliber club. Colin Kaepernick still has a little of that upside. But the hard thing will be that this roster is not a great roster right now. It's not a great defense. You know, you hope that Carlos Hyde can stay healthy and run the ball. The receiving core, they have some potential there, but I don't know they have the absolute go-to guy, and that includes their tight ends. Vance McDonald is kind of pedestrian. So I think the group that he's going to be working with, along with the defense that's clearly having to rebuild, I think there's going to be some challenges for Chip in San Francisco.
What about a positive quarterback story, at least from what we've seen in the preseason so far, and that's Robert Griffin III in Cleveland. A lot of folks feel like maybe we're starting to see the RG3 that we saw at the very beginning in Washington.
Well, you hope so, because obviously this guy has a lot of talent. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, that's something obviously everybody's going to watch to see, because they keep saying, we're going to let Robert Griffin be Robert Griffin. Well, when Robert Griffin was Robert Griffin, when he was RG3, he got hurt. And so I'm looking for a guy that can he beat you from the pocket? Yeah, can he do the things outside? He's got potentially, and I'm hesitant to use that word because the old adage is in coaching, son, your potential is going to get me fired. But if there's some potential, it looks like Terrell Pryor has some upside in terms of the receiver. If indeed Josh Gordon can come back and be solid for them, if they can get that running game cranked up, then that's going to complement RG3 and give them a chance, obviously, to piece this thing together. And I don't think anybody expects them to be a playoff team, but they can be a good, solid, competitive team.
The buzz down in Dallas is, of course, all about Dak Prescott, and we know it's a limited sample size of preseason, but what were your thoughts on Prescott going into the draft, and are they coming to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Dak Prescott, this is different than the first-round conversation, which is good. Because for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously with Tony Romo, it's all about keeping Tony Romo healthy. But if you can get and reach down into the fourth round like they did for Dak Prescott, this is a talented guy. A lot of people will equate his game a little bit in terms of Russell Wilson. Now, that you say that, people go, oh, boy, well, this guy needs to be your starter. I'm just saying that he's a later draft choice that's showing some potential. I did see an interesting comment from him in talking about how He feels like he's ready for whatever the NFL is going to throw at him, whether it's a vanilla defense or, as he said, a rocky road defense. I think I'm ready. Well, let's hold on that. I prefer to have a rookie quarterback know just enough to be afraid, because I love the bravado, but the difference that he'll see in the regular season versus the preseason, notwithstanding Tony Romo staying healthy, but obviously for Dallas, they've got the best of both worlds. If indeed he can be a serviceable backup, get a young quarterback that they can develop, you couldn't ask for more than your backup quarter in your backup quarter position.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, as we go around the league. Coach, let's talk about a couple of coaching changes. How do you think the young Adam Gase, and I always wind up feeling older when I see a head coach who's 30, but nonetheless, a young Adam Gase, how do you think he'll do in Miami?
Well, he's got it set up to do very well. I mean, he was brought in. He's the current quarterback whisperer. So he's going to come in, and Tannehill is going to be that next protege, that next quarterback. Indeed, can he transform this guy who's had a solid beginning in his career? That's how it's going to be judged, because the expectations in Miami are very high in terms of what they think they can do. Obviously, in that division, it's all about, can you supplant New England? I don't know if they're good enough to do that. So the next question is, are they good enough to be a wild card team? And that's a tall order in the AFC.
What about Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? What's your assessment of Peterson?
Well, he certainly brings the right pedigree in terms of having been a former player, being a part of successful teams with Andy Reid. He's certainly in a familiar situation. Let's go back and remember that Doug Peterson was brought in to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in Andy Reid's first year in 1999 to basically hold down the spot until Donovan McNabb could eventually take it over, which he did middle to late season. Now, that was a 5-11 team. He now is sitting on a team where he's got a couple quarterbacks, more than a couple. Sam Bradford, obviously, they paid all that money to. They went out and moved up and used a lot of assets to go get Carson Wentz. But I was up at their training camp, early in training camp, and had a chance to visit with Coach Peterson. And he and Howie Roseman, the general manager, seemed wholly committed to Carson Wentz not playing this year. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. As I said, since Aaron Rodgers took over or was drafted back in 2005, 29 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round, and only a handful have not played in the first year. Only four, to be exact: Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Grady Quinn, and Jake Locker. Now, that's not an impressive list outside of Rodgers. So those that want to make the camp, well, maybe you shouldn't play your quarterback in the first year, hasn't turned out real well. So we're going to find out if Doug Peterson wants to emulate what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles and just kind of be a placeholder until they can get Carson Wentz into the starting lineup.
As you look at the NFL over the course of the last year, certainly the last 8 or 9 months, Coach, we've seen, whether it's the Al Jazeera report, we've seen Deflategate, we've seen a number of things going on. Are we in jeopardy at all with the league of Roger Goodell, any of the decisions or anything that he's doing? Is it starting to hurt the image of the league when it comes to the fans?
Well, I don't think so, particularly when we're talking, it's kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth when the media wants to say, well, is Roger Goodell too tough? Is he too authoritarian, as the players and the union will say? But by the same token, the NFL can't suffer these black eyes. He's got to get it under control. And that's really what it's going to come down to. We just saw the recent situation in the Olympics with Ryan Lott, and how it's so often it's not the act itself, it's the cover-up or the lack of taking responsibility for it that is much, much more difficult. And that's what Roger Goodell and the league are trying to do, to make sure that these players understand there's going to be an accountability. There's a red line in the sand, and if you cross it, you're going to be held accountable for it.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. Last one for you, Coach. Give me a team that is going to surprise us, and it could be a team that we think isn't going to be very good, who's going to be better than expected, or a team that has high expectations that's going to underachieve.
Wow. Well, let's go with the positive on that. And you know, when we talk about this and the work I do for the NFL Network, we're at that time of year where everybody wants to talk about that same thing about who are the teams that are going to surprise us. And the criteria is, okay, let's begin with the teams that weren't in the playoffs last year.
Right.
Because obviously you got to see what the Carolina Panthers do. Washington Redskins, who I think are going to be pretty good. Can they get back in the playoffs? But a team that clearly needs to do well for their coach, but I think his position could be pretty good, is Jacksonville. Now, they need to be good, because obviously Gus Bradley's only got 10 or 11 wins, 12 wins over the last 3 years. But you've got to love, at least in the preseason and certainly in the third year, Blake Bortles seems ready, along with, you know, that great receiving core with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurn. The tight end position is a solid one with Mercedes Lewis. Julius Thomas, who they brought in last year in free agency, could step up and have a big year for them. And obviously in the running game, getting Chris Ivory to go with E.J. Yeldon. They're going to have some offensive weapons. And, of course, Gus Bradley went out and drafted a bunch of defensive guys who they're going to play. They don't have to be great defense, but they got to be better. This could be a team in the AFC South that really could be wide open that makes their way into the playoffs.
And they're benefited, Coach, aren't they, by the division that they're in? Sometimes the geography around you benefits you, that there isn't like a Patriots or a Carolina Panthers type team that they're trying to climb over either.
Yeah, and I regrettably, we always will start the season off and, okay, what coaches are on the hot seat? And well, that division's on the hot seat, because every single one of those coaches, whether it be Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis, the expectations with a healthy Ryan Leaf, whether down on Mike Mularkey, all but a first year, you go, how can a first year coach be on the hot seat? Well, let's remember what happened in Jacksonville, where he went 1 year and got fired. The expectations that Marcus Mariota is going to be better. And obviously down in Houston, they went out and spent the big money on a quarterback that the Denver Broncos said they didn't want to spend the money on, and Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler's got to come through for Billy O'Brien, or it could be, you know, could be a problem for him. So I think that whole division of coaches is on hot.
I say it every single year. You're a smarter football fan if you spend some time with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. Coach, look forward to visiting with you again throughout the season. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great. It'll be fun.
Coming up next, it will be time for Overtime, a six-pack of questions, rapid-fire style, with the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Overtime is next.
Overtime.
It is time for overtime. That means we got a six-pack of questions, because what else do you do during overtime but make another trip to the bar and grab a six-pack so that you can enjoy it? This week, our guest in overtime from the NFL Network is Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, how are you?
Nate, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. You ready for a six-pack of questions here?
Are they alcohol-free?
Well, they are alcohol-free, just in case you've got to go in front of the camera here in a moment.
Good.
All right.
Double check. Go ahead.
Let's start here. Question number one. Which rookie quarterback is going to start first, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, or Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch.
And why is that?
Jared Goff might be my other answer. I think it, no doubt Case Keenum is going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams out of the gate. They have two difficult division games right out of the gate, so you're not going to see Goff, I don't think, in September. Paxton Lynch, as of our taping, Nate, still has a shot, if he performs well in week three of the preseason, to get the starting job, as absurd as that sounded a couple of weeks ago. And I think Paxton Lynch very well could be the two behind Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Siemian, somewhat unproven. That would put Paxton Lynch in a great position.
All right. Question number two. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott is going to break Tony Dorsett's 1977 rookie rushing record for the Cowboys of 1,007 yards?
Yes.
In what week?
Well, you need to average 66 yards, roughly, I believe, or 65 or something like that, a week to get to 1,000. So do the math. I say he looks like a 1,200-yard back.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you on that one. All right, question number three. Do you think that Tom Brady's suspension is going to mean the end of the Patriots' run at the top of the AFC East?
Absolutely not. Call me except in December when they win the division.
All right, question number four. Will this intriguing Jacksonville Jaguars team, led by a defense they've been rebuilding, do you think they make the playoffs?
Ooh. I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say they make a run for it and look like a 9-7 team. I'm still not entirely sold, but I'm excited. When the schedule came out in April, I said Green Bay on the road week one at Jacksonville was your sneaky good game of September.
As you look at Cleveland, are we seeing the resurrection of Robert Griffin III?
Yes. The question is, how long will the life be once resurrected? He certainly looks good in the preseason. It is still the preseason. Pump your brakes, Dak Prescott fans. RG3 has proven he could play and win in this league. Can he do it as a drop-back passer? Can Hugh Jackson truly, truly give him sustained success? I don't know. I mean, the right side of it off, well, right tackle is an issue. They have some weapons offensively, But blocking and tackling still will be an issue, which doesn't always bode well for the quarterback. Don't be shocked if they are in the number one overall discussion next year. Maybe not at number one, but at least trying to trade up to get a certain quarterback from the ACC, who for the time being shall remain nameless because he's an underclass.
Let me do a follow-up to question number five. Do you think RG3 ever makes it back to the Pro Bowl?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater made the Pro Bowl last year, and I like Teddy, but he only had like 14 touchdown passes. The way people drop out of the Pro Bowl, I'll never say never for anybody making the Pro Bowl.
All right, last question from our six-pack in overtime with NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Do you believe by this time next year we will be referring to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say, because it's Vegas and we're playing the odds, that it is slightly better than 50-50 that we will. However, never underestimate the likelihood of an iconic franchise staying home with a last-second deal.
I have said that I'd never want to see a city lose their team, but given that I'm in Denver with the AFC West, it could be kind of fun with the Raiders in Vegas. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Nate, a man of your fame and your needs, you know, I can't imagine that you need a Raiders game to hop on a $79 one-way flight to Vegas.
As long as you're going to meet me there. It's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, part of Overtime with our six-pack of questions for this week. Andrew, thanks.
Yes, sir.
And there you have it. That's how the Overtime works, a six-pack of questions for a different analyst each week, and it also wraps up our podcast for this week. Thanks for being a part of it. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.